Chapter 1. Carmela Bertrand stepped into the dark interior of St. Tristan's Church and uttered one word. Spooky. Not only was this historic pile of stones tucked discreetly into New Orleans' freewheeling French Quarter, but it lent a note of Gothic sobriety. Dim overhead lights spilled muddy puddles of light down the center aisle. An ornate wooden altar with a large gold cross and tabernacle loomed at the far end, flanked by two red lamps. Tucked down both sides of the church were small chapels and prayer nooks where flickering vigil lights cast dancing shadows across the faces of painted, peeling statues, giving them an uncanny, animated look. All around were the rustlings of unseen people as beads rattled, doors closed softly, and footsteps whispered on slate floors. Choir practice had just concluded, and it felt like the final notes of Abide With Me still hung thick in the air. Blinking rapidly, Carmela fought to adjust her eyes and take in the vaulted arches, dark confessionals, and gigantic pipe organ, which all seemed to impart an air of monastic seclusion and deep solemnity. It's almost like something out of Phantom of the Opera, she murmured to her friend, Ava Grieu, who was a step behind, juggling a large hand-lettered poster. Or The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Ava offered. You remember that poor, twisted creature scrabbling around in the bell tower? I remember, said Carmela, and wished she hadn't. St. Tristan's had a bell tower, too. A tall, spindly structure with ancient bronze bells that clanged out their soliloquy above the French Quarter three times a day. Still, said Ava, gazing about the church with an almost beatific expression on her face. I love it here. It's particularly meaningful, now that I'm volunteering with the Angel Auxiliary. Carmela, a youthful blonde of not quite 30, directed a skeptical sideways glance at her best friend, whose va-va-voom figure was sheathed in tight black leather slacks and a plunging yellow t-shirt with sequined court jester motif on the front. She herself was dressed in Republican beige and had worn sensible low-heeled shoes, quite appropriate considering her churchy errand today. But Carmela, who fancied herself conservative and worried that she was plain in a city where moonlight and magnolias were the norm, was really quite lovely in her own right. Her skin glowed with a peaches and cream luminosity. Blue-gray eyes mirrored the color of the Gulf of Mexico, and she projected an upbeat air of barely contained mirth and energy. And, upon certain occasions, generally a fanciful Mardi Gras ball, Carmela wasn't afraid to fling caution to the wind and jack her 5-foot-6-inch frame onto tottering 4-inch stilettos to hang out with the tall gals. And the tall guys, naturally. Still, the fact remained, when Ava strutted her stuff with the assurance of a peacock, Carmela sometimes felt like a little brown wren. Got to ratchet up the sizzle, Carmela told herself. Buy a Wonder Bra or a purple silk teddy. Spritz on a cloud of Chanel No. 5. Keep that boyfriend of mine on his toes. Although maybe I shouldn't be thinking about all this. In church. People don't realize, said Ava, dipping two fingers into a marble holy water font, crossing herself, then turning innocent, practically guileless eyes on Carmela. That I'm a very strict Catholic. Really? Carmela's tone was purposefully flat. No question intended, no judgment made. Just a bushel basket full of curiosity. Like, had the church elders ever dug into Ava's background? Did they know she was the proprietor of the Juju Voodoo shop? Carmela thought not. But seriously, what was the harm in a voodoo shop owner working as a docent in church? Nothing really. Because Ava was Ava, a retired beauty queen who partied her brains out and was known to enjoy a romantic fling or two. Or 8 or 9. It's so peaceful in here, said Ava, as they slipped silently.